are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, hello, dear friends. It is a beautiful, sunny day in Philadelphia on August 15th, 2022, a very special feast day, Our Lady of the Assumption. And I pray that all of you who are listening have honored her in a special way today as our mother, our beloved mother, the mother of Jesus. So in her honor, we have scheduled a very special radio broadcast today. But first, let us pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus and dear Blessed Lady, we consecrate this radio broadcast to your Immaculate Heart and to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We pray that those who need to listen will be listening. Those who should be listening and are on the fence, that they will tune in. We thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus, for all that you are about, for your love in these difficult times. We ask for your protection and your guidance. As we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, last week I told you that we would have a special guest today, and we would be talking about aging, with the spirituality of aging and staying faithful in fearful times. But first, I just want to talk about the fearful times. You know, every day, and we've been saying this for a couple years now, you know, on the news or on the internet, we hear terrible things about the world and what's happening, even if you go to fill up your car, you go to the grocery store, the high prices. But one thing never changes, and that is the call of Jesus for all of us to be called to holiness, to stay faithful in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and loving His Blessed Mother. Prayer does not change. Prayer does not respond to inflation. Prayer does not respond to the media. Prayer is a gift from heaven for all of us. So I ask that you remember that today. If you're feeling down and out, turn to prayer, even if it's a rote prayer, a powerful prayer like the Our Father or the Hail Mary. Always turn to prayer. And my friends, I want to be discussing next week the horrendous discussion that's in the media today about the Holy Rosary. And I'm hoping to have a special guest next week about the nonsense that's being propagated in the media about the rosary. The rosary is a weapon against Satan. Remember that. We've been told that by the great saints, by Padre Pio. We've been told that by the exorcists of the church. We've been told that in many ways through the centuries. So remember, the rosary is key to your prayer life. Very, very much key. And so don't forget it. But we're going to be discussing what's happening in the media with the rosary. And if you don't know, you'll be hearing it tonight. But in the meantime, we will be having Ann Costa on. Ann's been on so many times with me over the years. But Ann has been doing a special conference and talk on spirituality of aging, staying faithful in fearful times. You know, she quotes John Paul II, "The period of extraordinary grace with new opportunities for prayer and union with God is endowed with a new spiritual force, making fervent offering of their lives." So we as seniors are very important in how the Lord wants to use us for our prayer and union with God. We're not useless. We are useful in terms of our relationship with the Lord. And staying faithful in fearful times. We've endured so many generations or decades of heartache and fear. So, you know, in the book of Esther, it talks about such a time as this. You were born for a time like this, and we are called to be faithful in the midst of fear. But Ann Costa is a wife, mother, and grandmother of three from the Diocese of Syracuse, New York. She's the founder of Revive Hope and Healing Ministries. It's a Catholic apostolate and lay association of Christian faithful. Revive is a collection of ministries, such as many of you in the Philadelphia region have heard of Unbound, the Ministry of the Sacred Heart, and so much more. So she's an author, many, many books, a retreat director, and now she's a podcast host. But again, we're going to be talking about the spirituality of aging, staying faithful in fearful times. And isn't it hard? Isn't it difficult for us to stay faithful in fearful times? Don't you feel like you're sitting on the fence wondering, well, do I just give in to despair or do I remain hope-filled? And Ann Costa will lead us through how those who are seniors, who are aging, you may be 40, 50, 90, 100. I know someone who's 104 this month. You know, the Lord wants to use us in this age of senior moments. I call them a senior moment when I forget something, but the Lord calls them a moment of faithfulness, faithfulness and prayer and union with Him. So we're really going to get into a good discussion. Ann is a licensed social worker and, again, author, retreat director. She works in liaison with her bishop from the Diocese of the Syracuse of New York. So she's not a renegade. She's a well-balanced therapist, author, and retreat director. And this is a topic that is near and dear to her heart. And when I saw a few weeks ago that she would be discussing this at a conference, I thought this is perfect for our radio listeners. So again, we're going to be talking about spirituality of aging, staying faithful in fearful times.
Ann is on the line.
All right. Well, thank you, Frank. Hello, Ann. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Ann. How are you today?
Good, good. I told our listeners I'm excited about this topic. You probably heard my intro to you. I think it's critically important for all those who are listening to know that God wants us to remain faithful in these fearful times. So I give the microphone to you to teach our listeners about the spirituality of aging.
Aging. Well, you know, it's so funny because I think it was before COVID, so it was several years ago that I was invited to speak at this series called Spirituality and Aging, and I thought, I wonder why they're asking me that, why me to speak. It never occurred to me that I had crossed over into that demographic, right? But now, mm-hmm. 3 years later, I'm going back, and I really realize now that I'm a grandma, and I am definitely in the seasoned citizen category, and I think that's not just defined by age, but it does kind of feel like there's been a spiritual shift that I think that is supposed to happen at this age, you know, because we've got a different perspective. We're looking a different way, you know. We're looking back at our lives, and we're looking forward to some great unknown, but something that hopefully we've been preparing for a long, you know, our entire lives, which is to go back to the Father and go to heaven. And what does that mean? Well, some days, I don't know how you feel about it, but I can't wait to get there, right? Because mm-hmm. it just seems like this world is very scary sometimes. And it's very difficult, and but by the same token, we have great concerns about the people that we will be leaving behind. We have great concerns about for our families, and we have concerns about the souls of our friends, our spouses, and so there's a lot going on in this season of our lives. And a friend of mine just posted this really beautiful quote that I want to share with folks. It's from St. Pope John Paul II, and he was talking at the International Forum on Active Aging, And he said that those who are aging have entered a period of extraordinary grace with new opportunities for prayer and union with God. They have been endowed. Listen to this. We have been endowed with new spiritual forces with which to serve others and to make a fervent offering of our lives to the Lord and giver of life. Do we ever think about that? Do we really? You were talking about that when just before he came on, right? That
yes.
We have this opportunity to serve in a different way, to maybe to cultivate the fruit of suffering in our lives or cultivate the fruit of wisdom that we've been given. And to harvest, to come to harvest for, with all of these things in our lives. And I don't think we often think about it, but even St. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians. He said, therefore, we're not discouraged. Rather, although our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. So we think about this like, our souls are eternal, right? And we're just beginning in God's great plan. This is like the preparation period. And so everything that we've been through has been purposeful. And everything that we will go through from this point, this day, this moment forward is purposeful in the plan of what God has, the good plan that he has for us and for the people that we love. So that to me is something to really, really talk about, really reflect on. And, you know, practically what does that mean for you in your life? You know, it is so tempting for us to think that we are wasting away, that we don't have anything else to offer, or that we should be put up on a shelf. You know, the temptations of the golden years are twofold. One is that we would cling to things, right? We would cling to the past, or we would cling to our material possessions for our security, or we would cling to what other people think. We might still have trust issues with God, right? We might still be clinging and try to reinvent the false selves if they haven't gone away yet. Or there's the other kind of temptation in these years is just to kind of kick back, hey. We earned it, right? We deserve to just kind of coast, maybe just be idle and put our blinders on, put our feet up and just kind of think that, you know, we can enjoy life. We should enjoy life. But our spirits, our souls are still being worked upon with God. We are still being drawn into this lovely, beautiful, noble, good, all those things we're called to contemplate in the scripture, all of those things can come into greater and deeper appreciation in these years if we allow it. You know, if we allow God to continue to work in us and we allow more of his love. Really, it's all about love and his love into our hearts. What do you think?
And how do we stay faithful, though, in these fearful times? It's so fearful for seniors or even those who are disabled. It's very scary. What are the specific steps to remain faithful during these fearful times, Anne?
Yes. So I think the first thing that I'm going to be talking about this tomorrow, right? So the first thing that I'm going to ask people to do is really, really name what their fears are. You know, what are your fears? What actually are the fears that you have? And I think everybody has great, great fears and little fears and big fears. And really just to get all that out. I always tell that story of just before I fear really overtook me in my life. I wrote everything down. There was like 30 or 33 fears, I think, or 34. I had to write them all down because they just got so heavy for me. And I put them at the foot of my Mary statue here because it was too heavy for me to carry. So it's really important to name them. It's really important to face them in that way. Bring them to prayer. Share them with a confidant. Share them with somebody. Talk to the priest. And then you take it, you analyze. We're going to talk about this tomorrow, like how we sort of see what's really rational and what isn't. And a lot of times, to be honest with you, our fears are associated with where we're trying to get our security from, right? The root of our fears is kind of coming from where we're trying to get our security from. Sometimes, you know, for those of us, we try to get our security from what we do. We're very self-sufficient, right? We think if it's got to get done, we're going to do it. We may still, you know, try to control things and people, and we just rely on ourselves. But we're going to have fear creep in because we're not reliable. Only God is, right? And then there are some of us, I think I'm in this category for sure, that try to get our fear, we become fearful because we try to get our security from what other people think of us. We're kind of vain. We worry about what people's opinions are. And we put our security and our foundation is in that and other people and other opinions and the respect of others. And so that makes us feel fearful inside. And then there's the third one, which is these are the root sins. Okay, the three root sins is sensuality. We put our faith in the things that we have and the way that we feel. And a lot of us are in this culture right now because we think, you know, we feel afraid. We feel a certain way. We feel overwhelmed. And we call that reality. Like we live in that fear, in other words, instead of how it feels, instead of living on the foundation that Christ has provided for us. So the one way that the one very important way to combat our fears is to read the Word of God. And not only just read it, but pray it and have it seep into our souls through this ancient prayer that we have called Lectio Divina. And that is a way in which we pray where we read a passage three times and we let the Spirit speak to us and we let it sink in. And we realize and remember and we see how God is faithful in the scriptures. We claim those words. And I've come on your show and we talked about this a lot. And there has never been a time in our history, I think in our lifespan, where this has been, where we need this more than we've ever needed before, right? Because there's so much untruth out there and there's so much confusion. And there's a lot of lies that are being touted as truth. So we have to grab hold of what we know to be true and what has stood the test of time, which is the Word of God and the truths of the Catholic faith, quite frankly. Okay? So that's one way. There's more. Do you want to know more?
Okay. If you're just tuning in, our special guest is Ann Costa. And we're discussing the spirituality of aging, staying faithful in fearful times. Go ahead, Ann. What's next?
Okay. So we talked about that. And we have to understand that what we have been through as a world, as an entire universe, has been like a huge collective trauma, right? All of us on this whole planet have been shaken to the core. Our sense of what we thought was normal has been taken away, and we now understand our vulnerability. We understand how much we can't control. We all understand that we're not in control and that there are things bigger, forces bigger. And there we've been told, you know, there are powers and principalities. And so we have to understand there is a real spirit of fear that has been taken hold, and I think it has come through the coronavirus, the pandemic. And so I see it not just, we can see it on a global scale with what's going on. We can see it in our communities. We can see it in our families with disunity, distrust. We can see it in our one-to-one relationships with friends and people that we know or thought we knew. There's just this pervasive spirit of fear. And so we have to understand how to combat that, the paralysis that can happen. And the physical isolation, so that that's one, the one thing that happens, that we become paralyzed or we become physically isolated. So anything that we can do to connect with one another, even if it's online, we need to do that. Certainly it would be better if it was in person, but we have to really go against that. The other thing is what fear can do is it helps us, we can lose focus, right? We think about Peter coming through. He had his eyes right on Jesus, and then he got fearful, and he looked down, he looked away. So how do we keep our eyes on Jesus? Well, we don't focus on things like the evening news constantly. We don't focus ourselves on the things that are going to stir up the fear in us. Whatever we put in, whatever we expose to ourselves is really, really real, and we have to guard against that. We have to safeguard our souls against the craziness that is out there. And the best way to do that is through cultivating silence and being with Christ in adoration. Adoration is a healing experience. It is a presence. It's the presence of power of God right there with you. And that is him coming into your upper room. Remember when the disciples and the apostles, after Jesus was killed, and they had that horrible experience of watching him torture and death, they had that horrible experience of being utterly ashamed because they abandoned him. And they all kind of huddled together. Again, they stayed together. They prayed together. They had no idea, but they were fearful. They just stayed there in that upper room, and they waited. And they waited. And so our experience of that can happen in adoration. And Jesus comes and he says, fear not. So absolutely, that should be a big part of our lives, especially since we have more time to do that. It is not like we have to do anything. We simply have to let his presence be with us and let his love be there. The other thing that fear does for us is it makes us very susceptible to outside influences, false prophets, and we lose the ability to properly discern. That's what fear does. It gives us tunnel vision, and we can't see the Holy Spirit's presence in things, or it makes us susceptible to all kinds of craziness because we need something to grab onto. And that's why I always say that the truths of the church and what is already known and accepted are the things that people can really draw strength from. And they know what is true through the Catechism of the Catholic Church, for instance. The other thing that this does is... I was thinking about this. I was talking about this before, is that if we can think on a world stage, like what is the opposite of fear taking control, it would be the people of Ukraine and what they did in the face of that, of being invaded by Russia, and what they did, how they claimed the victory in Christ before they even began. And that they had this like strong, unifying understanding that Christ is real, that he's there, and that they have a larger, that he's won the whole war, but they have to take a stand in this battle. Well, that is kind of how we need to be as Christians, as people who believe in Christ now, especially those of us who are a little older. And we understand how time changes things. We hopefully our roots are a little deeper, that we really don't run scared in the face of it. And we claim Christ's victory, which is already there. You know, this is really where our faith meets the road, right? The reality of our faith meets the road. And I think it's just so beautiful how that country has remained steadfast and knowing that God is good and he's going to be protective of that, even though they're going through great trial. We're going to need that kind of resolve, and we can pray for that. And I'm going to give you a few prayers at the end of this talk, of our talk today, that we can really claim, that are very powerful prayers that we can pray so we can strengthen ourselves so that we can be prepared for whatever happens, and we can let love conquer the fear, because, you know, fear is kind of the opposite of love. So if we're afraid, then we're not loving the way that we're called to love. And that's really important to know, too. Okay?
And I would like to just spend the next two and a half minutes with you sharing with our listeners, you know, the power of community. So if you're standing alone and you're isolated and sensing abandonment, how important is it to have another person pray with you or to stand with you?
Yeah, I think it's everything, because, I mean, Jesus sent people out two by two. Nobody ever went out by themselves. There's no room for lone rangers in this world right now. It's not prudent to do so. So it only takes one other person. It's lovely if you have a community. I personally prayed because I was a very isolated person, and I didn't trust very well when I first started coming back to the church. I prayed for God to send me who it was, a community of people, and he did. He answers that prayer. He answers that fervent prayer for community. And it could be online or it could be in person, one or two people that you trust, that you pray for one another, you know, he wants that for us. You know, before he left, he, you know, at the Last Supper, he prayed for unity for us. He prayed for that. He wants us to be unified in that way, like he is with his Father. So pray for that, because God will send the people. He will. That's for true. That's true. Because we do need each other, and we need to pray for one another.
Because fear breeds in loneliness. Fear breeds in isolation. But if you have even one prayer partner or a friend, the fear doesn't have a home. It doesn't have a home. That's what I hear you saying.
There's no room in there. Right, because you've joined. You've joined each other in spirit, and the Holy Spirit is there. You know, where he said, "When the two or more are gathered in my name, there I will be." And, you know, he's love, and there's no room for fear when there's love.
And I just wanted to share that we have listeners who are in nursing facilities or 55-plus communities or assisted living. And sometimes because of COVID, they became isolated. Even though they're living in community, they became isolated out of fear. Mm-hmm. So, and encourage our listeners who are living in facilities how to get out of their room or their apartment or their bedroom to reach out. You know, it's a simple invitation. It's a simple invitation. Would you like to join me in prayer?
Ah, isn't that lovely? Would you like to join me in prayer? Or, hey, can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? You know, you become the encourager. You become the person that is praying for others.
Amen.
Let God use you in that way.
Amen. Well, Ann Costa, stay on the line. My friends, after we return from the commercial break, we'll be back with Ann Costa discussing spirituality of aging, staying faithful in fearful times. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together, in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs, in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGrone, on Thy Will Be Done. And today we're discussing with Ann Costa, wife, mother, grandmother of three, founder of Revive Hope and Healing Ministries, a Catholic apostolate and lay association of Christian faithful from the Diocese of Syracuse, New York. Ann is a well-known author, retreat director, podcast host, and we're talking about the spirituality of aging, staying faithful in fearful times. But before we come back, Anne, just stay with me. I just want to encourage anyone who's listening, who Kathleen is always calling for an engineer. I know that term scares people, but engineer, you don't have to be an official engineer to help with the radio broadcast. It's simply turning some buttons on, turning some levels on. It's not very hard. So if you have some free time on your hands, Kathleen McCarthy is looking for some people, some volunteers to assist with the broadcast. Again, the word engineer gets a little intimidating because there are official engineers at the major networks that have a whole room of equipment. But this is a small room of equipment, and we have amazing men who will teach you how to turn on the buttons and connect to WTMR 800 AM in Camden, New Jersey. So if you have some free time on your hands in the afternoon, please, please, I ask that you please, through the power of the Holy Spirit, tune in and call Maureen Powers at 610-527-2906, okay? Okay, Ann Costa, are you still there?
I'm still here.
All right. Tell us, tell our listeners, we're talking about the spirituality of aging, staying faithful in fearful times. So we have listeners who are living alone, Anne, and feel like their lives are used up. What would you say to them? You originally spoke about this in the open of the show, but we have new listeners who are tuning in now. So say you're in your 80s or 70s and you feel like you're used up. How in the world could God ever use one of us?
Oh, my gosh. I've gone to nursing homes quite a lot. I work with people who are blind and visually impaired and deaf and hard of hearing. And I work with people who are in their elder years. And I can tell you that every single one of the people that I've met with, that I've learned from them. Okay. I have learned something from them. I have been blessed by them. They have helped me. And I think we must understand that people are in our path, or we go out of our house each day with an opportunity. Someone calls us on the phone. We always have an opportunity to minister to somebody who nobody can take your ability to serve someone else away, okay? And you don't have you have no idea how the Lord wants to use you, but understand that if you can cultivate a servant's heart, first of all, a surefire way to deal with fear and feeling completely useless is to serve somebody else, is to make someone smile today, is to say a prayer and know that your prayer, because of what you're suffering or your own loneliness that you're offering up, is going to be used to help someone else. Now, I can remember when I was younger and I would go visit nursing homes a lot. My degree actually is in gerontology. It's seniors. And I went to this really horrible, horrible nursing home. It shouldn't be there, but it's still there. And there was a woman there who had a condition where she couldn't speak, but I think she was pretty sharp. And I remember walking by and she couldn't say anything, but I looked into her eyes and her eyes were the kindest eyes that I have ever seen. And they were so full of light and so full of life, but she could not speak. And I remember going there, you know, week after week and just couldn't wait to go see her. And it had nothing to, I mean, she you know, it, to the world, she had nothing to offer, right? They would think she is nothing. She's all washed up. To me, she made me feel so much love. And she ministered to me. It wasn't the other way around at all, by any stretch. And I that lesson, I hope I can have as much grace. You know, this the whole idea of this is that we want to age gracefully, right? Aging gracefully. We want grace to carry us through to the end, like this amazing grace story, the song says, right? So we must allow ourselves to be used by God in whatever way he chooses to or not. But know that whatever we offer to him, he will multiply it in the world. And he will use you. And so I have a friend, she has mental illness. She's also aging. She's in her 70s. And if you've lived a life of mental illness, for instance, it takes a toll on you. It takes a toll on your personality, you know, because of it, she's lived kind of impoverished. She lives on like $10,000 a year. To the world, again, she has nothing to offer, really not anything. But I learned so much from her, and I watch her. I watch her when we go to McDonald's, okay? And I watch her smile at people, and I watch her say, God bless you, to those kids behind the counter. And she lives for the ones that turn back and say, God bless you too. They may not have ever had anybody bless them. And yet, she brings a smile to their face. These, in God's economy, this is treasure. This is gold. This is what matters to God, right? This is what matters to our eternal souls. This is really what matters, not all the other junk that the world thinks is really important, right? And so now, this is like beautiful fruit as we slow down, as we offer our poverty. You know what my prayer has been lately, every night now, is like I try to empty everything out to God. I want to go to bed poor every single night, right? Now when I was in my 30s, that wouldn't have been a thought of. 40s, 50s, 60s, I'm in my 60s, but my 50s, none of that. That wouldn't have even occurred to me. But now it seems like, the thing to do is, Lord, make me poor so that you can fill me, so that you can fill me. And that is kind of where it's at. And that's a beautiful place for us to be. Don't you think, Anne?
It is. It's, as you said just about a minute ago, it's God's economy. It's God's economy. It's how he wants us, you know, with checks and balances to praise him, to thank him in the midst of suffering, in the midst of isolation. I love the story of the woman going to McDonald's with you, and she earned, I mean, she only had $10,000 a year to live on, but yet she was joyful in the midst of this deprivation.
And free.
But what happened? You know what's interesting to me, Ann, is that it touched your life in a profound way, and she probably didn't even know it. Your life was changed.
My life has been changed. That's she's in my life in a big way. I learn from her every day. She's one of God's chosen. I don't know how to say it. We're all his favorite, but you know, she just shows it more because she's unencumbered with all the other stuff. She knows how poor she is. We're all poor.
Well, we are, and it doesn't mean your finances. It means poor in spirit. It's one of the Beatitudes, of which I highly encourage people who are listening to look up the Beatitudes tonight, because many people don't even know what the Beatitudes are. So in order to understand Ann Costa today, what she's talking about at night, and she asked the Lord for her to be poor, it's poor in spirit. And look up the Beatitudes. So how important are the Beatitudes in living gracefully in our elderly senior youth?
Yes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the, you know, those who are persecuted. You know, how hard is it to take that? As you know, it's not easy. But, the reward, you know, blessed. Who's going to bless us? Jesus. Oh, yeah. We just have no idea. I mean, we're just in preparation mode right now for what he's got in store for us.
So, Anne, what does it mean endowed with new spiritual forces that John Paul II talked about? What does that mean? Yeah. Explain that to our listeners.
I do think that he's talking about the poor in spirit. I do believe that he's talking about the freedom that comes from surrender, and that you know, as we let go of those things that used to be important to us, the power of his grace takes over. And I think that's what he's talking about. I think. Now, if I talk to my friend who's 70, or if I talk to my friend who's 80, they might have a whole different understanding of that, right? Because they're farther down the line, and they probably encountered it. But for me right now, those special graces are coming through because I'm letting go of the things that used to be so important to me, but they're really not that important anymore. And embracing a poverty of spirit. That's kind of where I'm at right now. And what some of your listeners may have a whole nother perspective on that, based on where they're at, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just thinking of the person in the hospital bed right now who may be listening. You know, they may be in their 50s, and they're at the end of their life. They have a terminal diagnosis. And the need to pray for that special grace of courage. Mm. Courage and abandonment. Also, you know, to me, that is very much the spirituality of aging and staying faithful in the midst of fear. Mm-hmm. How do we become courageous in those moments of suffering? Is it a gift? Is it something we pray for, Anne?
Yes. It's total gift. It's total gift. It's kind of like we just don't have the power to do that. And we don't have to do it on our own. You know, it's kind of like forgiveness, too. You know, I think about that. I mean, there's a certain amount of resolve that we have to have, our commitment out of love. It doesn't mean that we're going to do it well, so to speak, because it hurts, or we're scared, or you know, we're depressed, or whatever it is. But that isn't the reality that God is looking at. Just lean in. I always think of that beautiful image of leaning into Christ, of St. John at the table. You know, Christ was really going to leave, you know, and he just leaned in and just rested there. And I think, you know, that's our gift sometimes. That's the best we can do, but that's all we need to do. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to be with people who are dying or at their moment of death. I was there when my mom passed, and I was there when another friend did. And that, it just strikes me so how quiet that moment is a lot of times, and how momentous and yet how hidden it is. And I think about Christ's death, and I think about how we just cling to that. We need to just cling to that cross and that hope all the time. And it's very beautiful, but it's also painful. And that's kind of what love is about. That's what his love is about for us, and it's what our love is about for him. And I know this is, you know, I don't like pain any more than the other person. I get scared, you know, we get scared all the time, but there's a deeper reality there that God wants to provide for us in those moments. And that's the grace that comes from him.
So, Anne, how does this grace pass on to the person who's watching someone suffering and, for example, offering up their suffering for those who are not courageous? But say you're sitting at the bedside of someone you love. Does this grace transfer to you as well, this beautiful grace of faithfulness, eliminating fear, or does the are you the witness capturing the fear?
My experience has been that it's interesting that you say that. When my mother passed and I was there, the priest gave her last rites.
Mm-hmm.
And she could barely take anything. And you know how you have the viaticum you take in Jesus. But she could barely do that, just a little bit. And then he gave the host to me, or the rest of it, or whatever. And he said, "You carry that with you. You carry her with you. You are there with her in solidarity." I don't know the theology behind it, but but that moment of understanding, that soul to soul, you know, the grace is all of us. It's for all of us all the time. All the time, it's never not there for
yes.
one another, too. I think about the mother that I speak with, a lot of mothers and grandmothers whose loved ones are in the throes of addiction. Okay, and we think about what can we possibly do to help them, and all this frenetic activity that we get involved in. But it's our prayer for them. It's our standing in the gap for them. That is the most powerful thing. And it's hard to get people to understand that, but that really, truly is the gift that we give to one another and how God's grace works through us. So prayer is everything, my friend, everything.
Yes, not to be taken lightly, but it is a force.
Oh.
As John Paul II said, it's a spiritual force.
Yeah.
And we have all, but no matter who you are today, no matter what state of sin or grace you're in, the Lord wants us to be a praying community. He's calling all of us to his heart, to his sacred heart, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and to the gift of mercy that he's gifting all of us so we are not fearful as we age, that we embrace mercy.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Benny, how about some beautiful prayers? I know have prepared for this program.
I would love you
to share some of your beautiful prayers with our listeners to encourage them to stay faithful as they age gracefully, despite the fear that may be really encircling them at this moment.
Yes, that sounds good. I want to share this prayer. It is from a book that's actually called Aging Gracefully. And it's a Catholic book, and it's a prayer that's in this book on page 41. And the author of this book is Bart Tesserario. And let me just read this prayer, which just struck me as, God, you are always there for us. You keep your promises. You are with us from birth to death. And beyond. We may not understand your ways, nor see our prayers answered as quickly as we would like, but you are working all things out for the good, always and all ways. Hope does not disappoint. because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Oh God, you will not disappoint us. You will fulfill every one of your promises to us. You will make a way even when there is no way. Please fill us with your Holy Spirit that he might produce in us his fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Open our eyes to the needs around us and help us to be your presence to all, especially the young. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And do you have any other prayers? You had shared that you had specific prayers for the end of the program for our listeners. They cling
yes.
to these prayers.
Yes. I want to recommend three of them, okay? First of all, the Surrender Novena. Get the Surrender Novena, which is one way that we learn how to let God take care of everything. Then there's another beautiful prayer called the Litany of Trust. If you can look that up or have someone look it up on the internet, it's a very beautiful, it's a fairly new prayer. It was written by a sister of life. The Litany of Trust, because we need to trust. And then another really beautiful prayer is the Novena to the Holy Spirit. Okay? Those are three prayers that really help with fear. Okay? So I just wanted to share those.
Beautiful. Well, Ann, let us close out in prayer. My friends, you've been listening to Ann Costa from the Diocese of Syracuse, New York. She's the founder of Revive Hope and Healing Ministries, which is a Catholic apostolate and lay association of Christian faithful, well-known author, retreat director, motivational speaker, and podcast host. We've been talking about spirituality of aging, staying faithful in fearful times. Annie, how can people get in touch with you if they have additional questions? Tell us the name of your website.
So it's revivehopeandhealing.com. Revivehopeandhealing.com. And of course, I don't have a phone number, but it's on the website. Yeah, and they can call or just peruse the website, because there's all kinds of resources there and prayers and helps.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention to our listeners, Unbound is one of the umbrella ministries under Revive Hope and Healing. Many of you have heard of Unbound. And also any information on the Enthronement of the Sacred Heart, and those of you who are needing counseling, Anne has a list of counselors or can assist you, and you don't have to live in Syracuse, New York. You have telehealth, or you can do a Zoom call.
Right.
You have many other ways, right, Anne?
Right. We even do Unbound sessions on Zoom as well. We actually did one from India, a woman in India, you know. So we're not bound by borders here.
Again, Anne, your website again, because I know people are just tuning in. They're coming out of work, or you know, they're coming home from visiting friends. The name of your website again?
It's www.revivehopeandhealing. That's and is spelled out, revivehopeandhealing.com. Okay.
Well, Anne, I thank you for being with us today. As always,
good to be with you, Anne.
I hope and pray our listeners will pray for you tomorrow as you're giving, you know, a conference on this
wonderful
topic of spirituality of aging. So, listeners, please pray for Ann Costa tomorrow in a very special way. And, of course, for the spiritual success of her powerful outreach to so many around the world. Thank you, Annie, for being with
Thank
us today.
You.
God bless
Thank
you,
Ann. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well, Anne could have her own radio broadcast. She has written so many books, and her personal story of healing and depression and is astonishing, and you can read it if you look her name up. I believe her books are listed in Amazon and also on her website. She is a well-known speaker, motivational,
and spiritual retreat director, and her bishop, she's in full accord with her bishop of the Diocese of Syracuse, New York. So I thank Anne for being with us today. To me, the spirituality of aging, staying faithful in fearful times, was an important topic because many of our listeners are probably scared with the news, what's happening, unsure of one's walk in the church, in relationship with the Lord, and you need just some seeds of encouragement once in a while. And I pray that this broadcast touches your life in a very special way. I want to remind our listeners, tomorrow, Kathleen McCarthy is live on Facebook. That's right, live on Facebook from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Also on WTMR 800 AM radio. If you want to see Kathleen, you can see her on Facebook, and you can actually give your prayer intention or chat. People all over the world are listening. So I encourage you to listen from 4 to 6 p.m. tomorrow or to see her on Facebook. But again, it's still on WTMR 800 AM out of Camden, New Jersey. If you don't have a good radio signal, I ask that you use, if you can, Google or Alexa. It comes in as clear as can be, or through the internet. There's just no reason anymore not to be able to hear this radio broadcast, no matter where you're at. Also, I highly encourage you to donate to this amazing apostolate that's on, even though the commercial says less years, it's 50 plus years, consecutive years, run by volunteers with one paid person who's in there all the time running the 24/7 radio broadcast over the internet. So I ask that you please, please, through the desire of your heart to help someone, your dollar goes to keeping these programs on the air and to keeping this apostolate rolling out around the world, and literally rolling out around the world. Where else can you find 50 plus years consecutive radio broadcasting? So we have Ken Johnson and Father Doug McKay on Wednesday. We have Dr. Anton Raimondo on Thursdays and Monsignor Ralph Chifo. And on Friday, we have the Healing Day. My friends, it's a power-packed Catholic radio network you want to be part of. So help spread the word. The summer months are usually lean for any nonprofit, so I ask that you reach into your pockets and donate to this ministry. And as a favor, before I sign off, I'm asking for a very special prayer intention that just came through to me on the line. It's private. I ask and beg of you to pray for my very special prayer intention. And until Monday, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you, especially on this feast day. God bless you.